continuing on with the lesson. So of all the characteristics that we discussed so far, not the least of which is our willingness to be generous. We see that over and over in all the members here. I'm very thankful for that. So first of all, the Christian gives back to God. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Christian is generous to one another. In Acts 20, verse 34 and 35, "Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Romans 12, verse 10, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." Philippians 2, verse 1 through 4, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Christian is faithful. First, faithful to God. "This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Hebrews 10, verse 22 and 3, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Faithful to God. And continuing, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, yet still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." The For without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Revelations 2:10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. We're mindful of the many times, and here recently in our study in the book of Luke, the times that Jesus confronted the apostles because of their lack of faith, whether it was the waves in the boat or other times where he said if they just had faith as much as a grain of mustard seed, that would be sufficient and more than they would require. So it is something that if we believe that we are immune to that, those pressures of this life, the influences that we have, it starts to eat away at our faith. We should remember these things, that we keep ourselves faithful unto death. Christian is faithful to family. Ephesians 6:1-4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. 1 Timothy 5:8, if any one of you do not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Recall that Jesus condemned the practice of the Pharisees that removed the responsibility of people to care for their families if they gave to the treasury of the temple. Jesus called them hypocrites for doing such things. Faithful to fellow Christians. 1 Corinthians 4:17, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Ephesians 4:13-14. Hebrews 10:24-25, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So as a way of conclusion, a Christian is driven by a conscience disciplined by the gospel. In Acts 24:16, this being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Hebrews 9:13-14, for the blood, if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The Christian strives for perfection, meaning completeness. We spend all our lives striving for these values and standards, and yet we're scarcely and barely saved. Yet we still are to strive for this standard. Philippians 1, verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. As we said before, we forgive and are forgiven. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We're driven to good works. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James 2:18. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. The Christian has hope. Hebrews 6:19, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Colossians 1, verse 3 through 5, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Brother Steve read this morning, 1 Peter 2, verse 15 through 25. I'd like to read that again. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this who were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we have died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 8. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. These things are yours and abound. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Part of the motivation for this lesson this morning is that we've had the unique privilege to see and observe daily over the last many years the faithfulness of our sister Jane. We watched her deal patiently with the overwhelming difficulties that she faced on a day-to-day basis. Yet she never wavered in her faith, nor love for the Lord, nor for her husband. It's been a great encouragement to see these characteristics described this morning, demonstrated and come to life in one person. It's also comforting and a great example to see the practice of each one of these things in the minds and in the works of each person here. It makes this church strong, unique, and aligned with the gospel of Christ. So may the example of the strength that we saw in her, her commitment and hope of life after this life, motivate us all to be better children of God in the days ahead. Let's give the invitation again this morning for those wishing to obey the gospel, those wishing the prayers of the church. Come as we stand and sing.